Welcome back to the pregame show on Sports Radio 1290. Let's go straight to the phone and talk to the father of maybe the best point guard in all of college basketball, one LeVar Ball. Hello, LeVar.
Hey, how you doing there?
Not too bad. How about yourself?
I'm good.
Okay, it's funny. We were debating before about – we've seen a lot of really good players come into McHale over the years here, and we're all in agreement that your son right there is pretty much right at the top of the list, especially for a freshman. Did you know early on that, you know, all three of your kids were destined to be really, really good basketball players?
Yes. I planned all this.
Yeah.
From day one.
How so?
Taking my wife.
How so? Take us through kind of the metamorphosis of your kids into being the all-star caliber basketball players that they are.
Well, I met my wife at Cal State LA. She was a basketball player. I played basketball. She's tall, I'm big, and we had a lot in common and just grew into love each other. And guess what? I said, hey, all I need is three boys, and I'm going to have boys. Because there's five boys and two girls in my family, and my dad has 10 boys and two girls in his family. So boys running our family. So I said, hey, we get us three boys, we good.
LeVar, this is Kevin Neef, former basketball player at U of A myself. Did, you know, you playing at Washington State, do you basically got your boys back basically like the way you wish someone had your back when you played?
No, I just did things my way with my boys. They had a passion for that basketball. They played football, flag football early, and baseball. But they really had a passion for that basketball. And that's what I took it from there and just guided them my way. Because the game is played fast. And if you want to get to the highest level, that's where the speed of the game is the highest. So I taught them from level one to play the game super fast. Because I always told them, you can speed up, but you can always slow down. But if you don't have that speed, you just don't have it.
Now, Lonzo had in the first meeting between Arizona and UCLA. Lonzo had a great game. It wasn't enough for the Bruins to win. What does UCLA have to do differently tonight against Arizona?
All they got to do is just run, just speed the game up. Speed the game up. Don't chase these guys. Play zone a little bit, because the foot speed is too slow to guard everybody man to man. So the way I look at it, if you play some zone, you get in front, and you start playing some zone, they got to shoot. I don't think Arizona's the best shooting team out there.
Is there any defender on the Arizona roster, you know, that worries you at all, or is this something where UCLA's and Lonzo just has to play his game?
Lonzo just got to play his game. That's what I always told him. Don't worry about everybody else. Let them worry about you. Let them worry about seeing if they can keep up. But if you speed that game up, it's going to be easier for Zoe to play. His ankle's a little sore, but that don't mean nothing. He still can play the game in different ways. So if these guys just, if you don't get a rebound, sprint the lanes, he'll find you for some easy transitional buckets. That'll take away that half-court game.
What made you decide on UCLA for all three of the kids?
Well, we homegrown. Like I said, UCLA is a perfect spot as far as a school on the West Coast. It's like this. You at least want to be somewhere if everything is not going right for you. At least you want to be there. And I'll give you an example. If, let's say you got a sprained ankle or something and you're far away from home, Kentucky is a good school to play at, but it ain't a nice school if you're not playing. You're just out there in Kentucky freezing. But right now, see, if Alonzo needs any kind of help, mentally or physically, he can drive right up the freeway. And his brothers is right there.
What makes you comfortable with Steve Alford as a coach?
What makes me comfortable, all my boys committed early, and I trust him because he's never wavered and never had no alternative motives. We were both level-headed on the on the playing table when I said, you know what, whoever gets my boys is going to get all three of them. He said, I want all three of them.
Do you have the same do you have the same expectation for all three of your boys?
I have the same expectation for all my boys. I expect all of them to be great. I'm not going to just have one and be like, Lonzo, you can do it. No, Lonzo's the leader, and Jello has to follow. He's not the same player, but he has to follow in his mode as far as being a scorer. And then Melo is a hybrid of Lonzo and Jello.
Is there any player out there in the country right now that you believe is on equal playing terms with Lonzo Ball?
Not one. Lonzo does something that nobody else in the draft does, which is make everybody else better. Everybody says, you know, Welsh and TJ and everybody's so good, But this was the same team from last year. You just add a couple of pieces.
Alford
is very good at that. Like I said, Zoe's key thing, everybody thinks it's the passing and the shooting. It has nothing to do with it. It's the winning. He does whatever it takes to win most of the time. You're going to lose some every now and then. But his key thing is winning.
Alford, in an interview a couple days ago with ESPN, said that not only, as you mentioned, Lonzo makes his teammates better offensively, which is what everybody kind of focuses on, but he's made them better defensively. How is he – what does that mean?
Well, he makes them better defensively because he knows that the intensity has to pick up on a defensive level. So if you're getting all these stops and everybody's getting in a rhythm, it starts with the guard. The guard is the leader. Main guy to play hard defense, and then he goes. He's going to follow it.
We're talking with LeVar Ball, father of probable NBA first pick of the draft, Lonzo Ball, here on 1290 Sports Radio 1290. LeVar, you've obviously made some waves about the comments about Steph Curry. Can you take us through that a little bit, just kind of what you meant about Lonzo being a superior player at this point?
Well, they were asking me, everybody keeps asking me the same question. I have my opinion of my son.
Right.
And I watch people play. And like I said, he's better than Steph Curry. To me. Now, it don't have to be to everybody else. But to me, I think my son is better than Steph Curry. And I don't care what nobody says. I'm saying he's taller, faster, stronger. Put him in the right situation, which is, I mean, Steph Curry shoots the ball, Lonzo shoots the ball. He dribbles the ball, Lonzo dribbles the ball. But like I'm saying, he's going to have problems if he's trying to go with my son one-on-one, but it's a team game.
I guess,
if everybody want to get mad, what I'm not going to say is, oh, Lonzo's pretty good, but he's no Steph Curry. Stop it. Steph Curry's pretty good, but he's no Lonzo Ball.
Was there a player growing up that you kind of idolized, or you tried to maybe mold your son's game around, or was it just
that... I didn't mold my son's game around anybody's game. I just took pieces from every good player and let him do some things. Like I said, Lonzo reminds me more of Magic, throwing the long passes and making everybody want to play with him and run and they're winning.
What about Kidd?
That's what it is like that.
Yeah, but all the all the early comparisons, Jason Kidd, what did you think of those?
I thought, you know, Jason's kid, light skin, he passed the ball, and he's kind of a big guard. But that's the comparisons you get. You're just comparing him to light-skinned guards. That's like I said, I tell everybody else, look at the way Penny Hardaway played, and that's more Lonzo's frame and the way he plays and the size.
Do you worry?
You look at that, but he didn't win a championship or nothing, so you're not going to – nobody else is comparing any of these other guys in the draft to any other players. They just worried about who my son's compared to, and you can't compare him to nobody. I'm just saying, if you're trying to compare him and four things are different, that's not comparison.
Right now is kind of, I think, the golden age of athletic point guards in the NBA, and obviously your son would fit right in there. You're looking at, you know, your John Walls, your Russell Westbrooks. Do you worry at all that, you know, these guys are going to come gunning for him because of some of the comments?
Well, here's the thing. It is entertainment. I want you to come gunning for him. That's what it is, the competition. But you're not – here's the thing. Everybody's talking about, oh, Alonzo gets to the NBA, he's going to have an X on his back. I'd rather him have an X on his back in the NBA than have an X on his head for a hitman trying to kill him. That's what I'm saying. It's just entertainment. And Lonzo's M.O., he was the best player in high school when he came out. Now he's striving to be the best player in college. You think he's going to get to the pro level and say, wow, I've made it to the NBA, now I can relax? No. Now he's trying to be the best player in the NBA.
Well, there's a lot of talk about, okay, is Lonzo going to be the number one pick? Is Markelle Fultz going to be the number one pick? Obviously, you're going to say Lonzo, but give me a breakdown of why would Lonzo be a better number one pick than Markelle Fultz?
He would be a better number one pick on the fact that, like I said, Lonzo's not a game changer. He's a program changer on and off the court. Like one of the main things he said when he first got to UCLA, he said he didn't say nothing about himself. He said he wants to change the culture because he saw 15 to 17, that's a losing culture. Now look where he at now, doing it his way, pushing the ball, speed of the game, everything is exciting. So now you have the fans behind you. You have the fans behind you because the winning, and it's a great brand of basketball. It's not boring. It's very entertaining.
Is it
as long as you keep that, you're fine.
Is it fair to say too, and I've heard this brought up, that if you were to switch teams and put your son on Washington and Fultz on UCLA, that UCLA probably isn't as good, and that Washington's probably a little bit better.
If you switch them, UCLA gonna be right back where they were, 15-17, and Washington would be at the top. On the fact that you have all those athletes, and Lonzo's gonna make those athletes run for Washington.
All right, let me take it back real quick. You played a 1987-88 season at Washington State. So
right.
Lonzo's not the first ball to play at McHale Center. What are your memories of playing at McHale? And I'm also curious, you're playing, in your playing days, you're about 6'6", 235. Who did you guard on that Arizona team?
I was 6'6", 270 back then.
Did you guard Tolbert? Who did you guard?
I can't remember who I guarded. I think his name was Cook.
Anthony Cook. Yeah.
I did Cook and Sean Elliott.
How did that work, you guarding Sean Elliott?
It wasn't easy. It was easy for me. I'm very physical. But, see, it was hard for me to play because Calvin Sampson, when they recruited me, they said we were going to be running. And then when I got up there, we were averaging close to 40-something points a game,
right,
which is slowing it down. Now, I can't get off the bench because I'm shooting early, I'm going fast, and it didn't fit his style. That's why I transferred back to Cal State LA, to running, because he fooled me to get me up there to Washington State. And I was like, oh, man, I'm up here. So by me shooting early and taking people off the dribble, even if I'm scoring, I'm shooting too early in the shot clock, so that makes me defiant now.
All right, so what are your memories of playing at McHale?
It's just the excitement. There's a bunch of people in there. You guys, Arizona's good with all those fans. It's a good atmosphere to play in. As far as playing the whole game and doing all that, I wasn't in there playing the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
When they came up to Washington State, I played a long time and got like 14, 15 points against them. But at their place, I didn't play too much.
Is Arizona a school that you would have ever considered sending your kids to?
No.
Too far from L.A. or...
Yeah,
a style of play.
From LA. We got a big family. Here's the thing. If Lonzo was playing open run, he can always call his brothers down there and say, yo, come on down here and play with us at UCLA. You see what I'm saying? And, hey, at being at UCLA, the Lakers and the Clippers can come down right down the freeway and look at my boy every day.
If UCLA wasn't an option, was there a second choice for the Ball brothers?
We don't have options.
Mm-hmm.
We just go where we want to go. We pick somewhere where we want to go, and we strive for it. And then we keep striving until we get there. But I wasn't going to have, like, 5 and 6 schools where I was like, oh, I think I might go here. I might go here if this don't go.
When you sent Lonzo to UCLA, what were your expectations for him and for the team?
For him to start and play his style and play his way and win. And that's exactly what's going on. But I sent the boys to a camp when they were 12, 11, and 8 years old. That's to plant the seed, to say, you know what, these Ball boys is coming. So just to put their name out there, it's just like you can have staff at UCLA at the camps. They can pick your head in the gym. It's not recruiting, but you can pick your head in the gym and see who's in there playing hard or who's in there balling, who got the excitement. And then when I sent them the following year, everybody had known about the Ball brothers. And now 3 or 4 years go by, and they start doing some things in high school, that's when it's like, oh, that's the same 3 brothers that came down here real young shooting from a far distance.
How did you pick the high school? Is that the area you guys live in, or, you know, how did you pick
the school? I always said this. It's not the school to make the dude. It's the dude to make the school. And the school is right down the street. And I told folks before my boy even got there, when people think about Chino Hills, the first thing that's going to come to their head is the Ball brothers. And when you say that before going to the school, all the juniors and seniors, dads and everybody gonna be haters and mad, cause they've been trying to do it for 4 years and haven't done anything.
Now it's
gonna change, and I'm telling this. As soon as my boys get here, everything gonna change. The game, we ain't gonna do no more zone. We ain't gonna do no more man to man. The game is not gonna be slow. It's gonna be sped up. And now it's all coming to fruition. Everybody's like, oh man, he's a bully. He took over the program. Yeah, little Johnny can't try out no more. That's right across the street. You got to be good to play now.
Now, being that those guys were there, they attracted those other talented kids? Because those are not just no regular guys that's playing with them on that team now.
On the team that's playing now?
Yeah.
My boys attracted them.
Yes, yeah, okay.
First of all, Eli stays with us. I'm the one who developed Eli. That's okay. What people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I make Eli a monster to roll with the ball boys. We could. And then the other one is Onika. He was thinking about going somewhere else. But he see all the pub we get in the way we play. Now you want to play with us. So, like I tell everybody, if you don't think it's fun and doing what we do, leave. Go somewhere else and make your own school. They don't want to do that.
And the other kid is your nephew?
My other kid, yeah. Andre is my nephew. He hasn't even played. He got hurt.
Oh, okay.
He needs to get
He had
strong.
Some hops. I seen him on the one, earlier, man. He was dunking everything.
He jumped to the moon. Yeah. He's a highlight tape in warm-ups.
Okay.